This is the Friday, September 16th, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now are Angie Setzer, Don Rose, Naomi Bloom, and Mark Gold. Folks, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
We did not have a chance to discuss cotton on the program. Naomi, when we look at this market drop another $1.80 this week, what does that tell you going forward?
Well, the market had this just horrible downfall. The USDA report came out with the largest ending stocks for the United States in 8 years, and that just sucked anything positive out of this market. We now have been in a little bit of a sideways trading range because the market's trying to decide, okay, now are we fairly priced or not? And we're keeping an eye on the rains that are coming through Texas right now. There's a lot of those bulls that are open, so there could be some extreme quality issues ahead. But overall, the only other little bit of friendly news for cotton is that Pakistan is going to be importing cotton. And so who knows if they would actually buy from us, but at least there's a little bit more of global demand out there. And then if our supply is threatened because of this rain in Texas, then that'll be something that the market needs to address. But until we know both of those answers, a little bit more of a sideways trading range. But other than that, there's not too much going on.
Well, and I suppose it is positive that even though we did have that largest ending stocks in 8 years, we didn't go back into the range we were in a month
That's
ago
a good point.
In the low 60s. So
That's
we're still in this newer range,
yeah.
I guess, is a positive.
Looking for something.
Now, our first question from one of our followers, Doyle is a follower on Facebook. Doyle in Arkansas wants to know, will 2017 be the low in agricultural prices? We look at this from a cycle perspective. Where does 2017 fit?
I would say that you've got a fairly decent chance. You're at multi-year lows in here. A lot of people are throwing in the towel. As we talked about on the show, ag credit's an issue. Everybody gets bearish and has their chin on the ground when prices are low. And when you get the prices high, you know, we're at a new paradigm in American agriculture. Prices are never going lower. Now people are saying we're never going higher again. The fact of the matter is these markets will go up. Supply and demand will rule. We will lose potentially cotton acres into beans. We'll do other things that will stimulate demand. And again, are they going to get the money to plant? I don't know. But do I want to be bearish down here in the bottom 10% of where we've been in the last 10 years? No, thanks. I'll let somebody else be bearish down
here. Okay. Angie?
I think the potential is there. To me, I do believe, you know, speaking of new paradigm, I think we're in a new paradigm of pricing at this point in time, to where we're going to go back to where we were, except we're about a buck higher. You know, it used to be before in corn, if you figured a buck 70 to 275 or so on the December board was a proper range, and I think it's likely we could see us trade now a 325 to a 450. And so when it comes down to it, as a producer, you need to get well versed on how to use call options in case there is a rally, because the producer seems to be too afraid to have a repeat of 2007, 8, 9, 10, 12, you know, where I sold and then I had to sit here and couldn't participate in a rally. I'll figure out how a call option works to allow you to participate in the rally, but make sure that you're locking in your floor via sales at profitable levels, because the market will give you opportunities to sell. It did it again this year, but the market isn't there to guarantee you profit 12 months out of the year. So I think even if we don't put a low in place, I do think that there will be guys that will not only survive but thrive through this, because they're going to make themselves leaner and more available or more able to function in this market structure and move on. And I think it's a good reset time, too. You know, if you have rent contracts coming up for negotiation and things like that, unfortunately, it's time to make the very, very hard decisions out there. I have a lot of guys that are talking to me a lot of times in private on Twitter telling me that they have given up land this year and that it's probably been the hardest thing they've had to do. And it's unfortunate, but I keep telling them to be patient, because they may be surprised how quickly they get that land back, especially if they were a good tenant. You know, we got to see what happens as we move ahead.
I was speaking with a group of bankers earlier this week, and they said they're hearing that from a lot of their folks, the mindset of keep the best and let go of the rest. And then they've been telling their landlords, if you're renting now, get those checks up front and get them to the bank. I mean, just in case, because there is some concerns with ag credit. Mm-hmm. Don Rose, as you look out to the future, will 2017 be the bottom of this downturn?
Well, you know, what we're really doing is we're paying for the very high prices that we had in 2008 on, really. And so I think when you look at it, you have to be realistic. We've had chances on marketing, and I think you have to keep your eyes open. But without weather problems, I think you have to say the upside is muted. But after 3 good years, I think that we're due for a problem. And the thing, you know, we still think that next year is our best chance for a big weather problem. We have to remember last year was an El Nino year. This year it's a La Nina year, and if you look at the charts, we're still going back and forth to a La Nina. So I'd keep your eye on. We just started planting soybeans in South America, so we're resetting. We're starting again. We're just, you know, we're planting corn in Argentina and Brazil, so we have a chance. We're probably going to get some nervousness again. So, yeah, I think we probably have better times ahead. We'll be opportunities. There's certainly, if you look at it, Mike, there's not an opportunity to sell at harvest in big crop years. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Weather scares will come, and that's your opportunity. When you're at the bottom 5 to 10%, this is no opportunity. It's a good opportunity for end users.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And so, Naomi, as this is a good opportunity for end users, are we low enough to spark enough demand domestically and worldwide to carry us out of these doldrums in 2017?
Well, I think demand is almost peaked, honestly. I think it is strong. It has grown. It is growing, but I don't know how much more it can, grow. Also, if I'm an end user from another country, I'm going to let the American farmer store it here. And as long as there's not a threat of a crop supply deficiency somewhere else in the world, I'm going to definitely book what I need to book now, but I'm not going to be in a panic to book further out. And so I think unless South America has things go wrong drastically, you're not going to see a big, big increase in demand because they're going to buy as they need.
Okay. And it looks like after last year, when they did have at least a corn crop semi-catastrophe, and we didn't really notice much of a benefit here domestically, it's going to need to be a fairly large catastrophe down in South America to really move our prices one way or the other.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Captain McRae on Twitter wants to know, what will it take to get a good bounce in the corn market as harvest gets underway in the Midwest? Can we get a good bounce as harvest gets underway? Angie?
For me, what I'm monitoring right now as we move into harvest is the cash market. And right now, for anyone to say that basis is weakening, of course it's weakening. If you're not weakening your basis as an end user, an elevator right now, when you're facing what is proclaimed to be a large crop and you're cleaning up what was a large crop, you're foolish. Sorry, guys, but it's true. But how basis reacts in the next 3 to 4 weeks is really what I'm going to be watching. If it continues to weaken, then yes, the crop is there and it's large and in charge. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, though, to see basis actually strengthen as we move into harvest time because of the fact that we've seen such a significant increase in elevator and farmer space. We've seen, I mean, you just have to drive from Algona to Des Moines to see a lot of shiny new bins up on the countryside. Co-ops and elevators all over are putting up new space. I have farmers putting up new space everywhere. And so that's going to be interesting to see is we've had a couple years where we're supposed to have this big flood of grain hit. And we saw it happen last year. Basis did not weaken as expected. There were not lines in central Illinois that everyone was anticipating. And all of a sudden, we saw basis strengthen, spreads began to strengthen, and the futures rallied. So I'm really, my first thing I'm watching is what basis does over the next 3 to 4 weeks. I think the potential is there, especially if we see the dryness and the weather issues that we're seeing continue in South America to see a pop. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's probably after the bin doors shut that we really get a decent, trek towards 385 perhaps on the December board.
Okay, Mark?
Well, going into next year, I'm pretty friendly. And when's it going to start? Maybe we can have an insurance rally between now and the end of October. Then we see the real glut of grain that's out there. We know, to me, it doesn't matter if it's a 15 billion bushel crop or a 15.3. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference in the long run. We are going to have piles of grain. We can't handle 14 billion bushels, let alone 15 billion bushels. But all that, that puts that bearish tone on the market. Nobody's excited about it. And the best bull markets start with the biggest carryovers. They always have, always will. People take it to extremes. So sometime, December 1st to January 15th, do I want to accumulate long call positions for any grain we've sold? You bet we do. And we certainly encourage guys to sell grain at harvest, even if the price is low. Don't store it. The call is going to be one heck of a lot cheaper than the storage is going to cost them.
Yeah.
And they don't have the downside risk. So, I believe we've got some potential in 17.
Get to know the tools that are in your toolbox as a farmer. It's not just cash sales at the elevator. Yeah. You've got other opportunities. Don, do you anticipate there being a bounce here as we get into harvest?
Well, you know, I think really realistically we get to rewind the clock again. The spring rally was the same. You know, we're getting a fall break right now. But I think the biggest risk for the producer actually is there's a lot of cash corn carried over into the new crop, blended with new crop. Remember last year you put your lows in March again. You put a little fall low in, you rallied tighter basis. You know, we didn't have any weather problems in South America. We started some downward trek to the middle of March. And then what happened? We had weather problems in South America. So I think you're really down to a weather problem in South America. We got too many acres. So that's what you're looking for. But be afraid of the winter months from a big supplies coming at you.
Okay. We've got a question here from Alfred on Twitter. Alfred wants to know, what will be the swing factor for current grains and oil seeds meal prices? We've talked about grains. Naomi, let's get your thoughts on the oil seeds markets. What's it going to take to really swing us strongly back towards the upside there, that 975, 995?
I would say it's export related, not only what we're exporting out. Things to be mindful of this year, India is supposed to become over time a humongous importer of soybean oil, and it's partly due because of the drought that they had there. So their palm oil, they had to start looking for other avenues. The Soybean Association is doing an amazing job getting out there and introducing our product to them. And then the other bit with the bean oil is, of course, with Argentina and how they're not playing fair. And so they can export better than the rest of us right now, I guess.
Although I think this last week, Argentina said they're not going to reduce their export tax on soybeans. They talked
the
about dropping it from 32,
that's true.
They said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
$1.2 billion, I believe, revenue or more.
And it certainly takes the incentive out of the Argentinian farmer to plant more beans.
Right.
And, yeah, it does.
Especially with corn going for comparatively $6 a bushel.
That's one of those little things that we've talked about that can ultimately shift this market.
Yeah.
And we don't know where it's going to come from. But let's not forget, Mother Nature has always taken care of excesses, supply, and in deficits. We've got the excess supply now. Will Mother Nature take care of that and give us a deficit? She always has. So, again, I'm not dragging my chin at these prices. We're looking for opportunities.
Right. Mm-hmm. The key is to be open-minded and still in business
when
those opportunities come.
Absolutely.
Now, Naomi, as we look at the international trade scenario, we've got a vote coming up in China on dried distillers grains. We had a question about that from Wyatt Sagling over in Western Iowa a couple weeks ago. What are your thoughts as we look at how things are shaping up on the international trade picture?
I think it's going to be a big old cluster.
Okay.
There's so many dynamics going on right now that that's the black swan, in my opinion, is going to be not only if China is going to play nice and not like have the big tariff with the DDGs, and I think they're going to, because clearly their end users in their country are saying, well, we don't want this nasty corn because it's not selling at auction, so they need to bring those DDGs in. So I think that they're going to probably stomp their feet here and have their little temper tantrum, but when all is said and done, I think they need to bring that product in. The other bit with it, of course, is that the World Trade Organization, the Obama administration this week, now we're having our temper tantrum, and we're saying, no, you've done bad things, and you're encouraging your people to be planting more corn and rice and things like that, and so it's not fair to the rest of the world. So you're going to see a lot of that back and forth. And of course, if you had an election in there, and what Trump is saying about slapping tariffs on China, there is going to be, that's the black swan, in my opinion.
Okay,
is what's going to
a trade upset.
Along with that is what's happening in the South China Sea between North Korea, Japan, and China, and South Korea. We don't know how they're moving those pieces on the chessboard, but that can get exciting in a hurry, and if that does, then we can see a jump in grain prices. So it can be a lot of different things from that part of the world. I think the Chinese are going to play their tariff games. We're going to cry about it and try to discourage them from planning. But the fact of the matter is they're going to do whatever they want to do, and it's going to drag through, and that's not going to have an impact in the short run on grain prices. But if the Chinese start backing the North Koreans, or just posturing that way, now we've got some issues.
Okay, yeah.
Which may explain.
China, South Korea, and Japan, all very, very excellent trade partners of the U.S.
And this could be an explanation of why the Chinese have front-loaded so many sales in this time frame, because maybe they're concerned that something's going to happen and maybe those will get shut off. We certainly don't want to see that, but no. Depending on who's elected, we could have some problems there. So that's another bullish black swan down the road, perhaps.
Okay. I think if you pull distillers out of the equation as well, the DDGs out of the equation with the Chinese feed rations, all of a sudden, especially with their weather conditions this year, because the USDA has predicted that they're going to have a smaller corn crop, all of a sudden you have to put up or shut up on what they have supply-wise.
Uh-huh.
Because there's talk that they could have half of what they claim to have, and then there's talk that they could have double what they claim to have. So
nobody
really
knows.
When it comes down to it, China could have, you know, the X amount, 2 billion bushel on hand. They could have 4 billion bushel on hand. They could have half of that. But the reality is they're sitting on 53% of the world's corn at this point in time, or over 50%. And if you shut off the distillers and they do not want to use the corn that they have domestically, what do you see happen then? Especially when there's no one else in the world at this point other than your Black Sea, Russia, Ukraine, who also are gnashing their teeth at each other. You know, where do you get your corn if you need it?
Maybe that Milo market suddenly looks good again.
Right?
The Chinese jumped. We've seen them do it before. They've jumped in
and
it's the hot topic.
And I would say one thing is, you know, in all these trading markets, you still have to keep your eyes open. Actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have all these ifs and buts, but watch your sales, watch your cancellations, watch the demand. And really, everybody wants to be self-sufficient. And that's the real issue that's happening out in the world.
Okay. We've got a question here. Big picture. We're taking it away from the markets just briefly because you're all experts. You work with a lot of farmers. We've got a question from Matt. What do you think about Bayer buying Monsanto? Another piece of consolidation in the ag industry. Who wants to jump on that one first?
Well, I think from a producer standpoint, I think more competition is better, less competition is not. And I think that's the issue that you have out here in the country, really. I mean, that in the big picture, the consolidation, I don't think is that positive from a producer standpoint. But we'll see how it goes. But that's what we look at.
There may be an advancement in some new technologies now that the two are combined, which could benefit the American farmer significantly. So, you know, it's there. It's the wave. We have to deal with it, but we certainly hope that the American farmer can benefit from it in some way.
I agree with both points. What I'm more concerned about from the American farmer, though, is the potash-agrium merger.
Yes.
Because you're not finding new supplies of phosphates. You're not going to come up with a new potash mine.
And just so folks know what we're talking about, that was announced early this last week.
Yes. Yep.
Both Agrium and Potash Corp are talking about combining. There hasn't been a deal
There
yet.
Hasn't been nothing that I've seen solidified. I don't think... but if I were really going to be upset about something as a producer, that would be the one. Because you're looking at the two companies will handle 60% of certain supplies of potash and other necessary fertilizers. And so you are really putting in the hands of one giant conglomerate. You know, with Bayer and Monsanto, you've seen seed companies come up. I mean, you can see a new seed company. Look at the ones that have advanced significantly over the past few years because people were tired of the big
the
players
offerings.
In town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the new chemical possibilities and things like that you could see are
but
great.
You can't go stick more
but
potash in the ground.
You're not going to stick more potash. And unfortunately, the U.S. regulatory market has really cracked down on our ability to supply. You know, in Michigan, we used to have two different potash mines that you could just send trucks to and load up your potash, and you were a happy-go-lucky farmer. Well, now we have to import it from Canada most of the time, which seems so counterproductive to me. So not only do you have a regulatory issue, but also you have, really when it comes down to it, you have three suppliers and you're merging two of them.
All right. Naomi, any thoughts? I want to make sure I get you included as well.
I think they hit all the high notes.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, we are going to wrap this up. Angie, if you've got one sentence to tell the farmers as we get into harvest and head into 2017, what would it be?
Be smart, know your break even, and sell there.
All right. Mark Gold, one sentence?
One sentence, be very careful about selling too early. And in this market, once we get through whatever this harvest pressure is going to bring, look to re-own whatever you're selling with some call options.
Perfect. Joined it with an and. I like it. He found a loophole. Don Rose?
I think make sure you try and merchandise your way out in a little bit into some profitability. There's some opportunities in merchandising. And I'm with also re-ownership. If you sell stuff down at the bottom 5 to 10% of the values, make sure you have some kind of re-ownership. Weather can really change pretty fast on people. Here in South America, it's just up to bat than the U.S.
Naomi Bloom.
Sit down every week and scenario plan everything that could unfold. All of the seven things, in my opinion, weather, supply and demand, all of those types of things, there's a lot to watch. And at any time, one of those is going to be the winner for the week or the winner for the month, and you have to know them and be ready for it.
And know how to take action based on what you've learned. So know your tools that are available. Mm-hmm. I love that. Sharpen your pencils. I want to thank all of you for tuning in this week. I want to thank all of our expert Blue Ribbon panel of analysts for taking the time to join us. We do appreciate all of your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, keep watching. We wish you a very safe and successful harvest season. And while you're out there in the combine and you're thinking of market questions, send them to us on Twitter and on Facebook. Search for us at Market to Market. Thanks for watching and have a great week.